It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Sozi!
No, that's Matthew Sozi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sozi.
You can always tell if Kobe's not here because there's no quip to go with the intro of the show. Welcome, film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sozi. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which you can check out at filmsociology.wfyi.filmsociology.tumblr.com. Kobe Slagle is not in studio. He is at his best man's wedding in beautiful non-Detroit Cadillac, Michigan.
Sounds like a romantic comedy. My best man's wedding.
Not quite. Well, I know where you're going there, but he's not going to sabotage it like.
No, absolutely not.
Like psychotic Julia Roberts. Although, if you go to KobeandBianca.com, their photos, straight rom-com posters. Big time.
Really?
Big time. Oh,
nice.
Yes. Oh, yes. So. The voices you hear, we have, I needed two people to help me out here since I have to host and engineer. So I have Brian and Monica Hartz in studio. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And, right off the bat, Brian, what's your blog again?
Cinematicmusic.blogspot.com.
Well, I bring that up because I have a rough version of this and I'm sure Kobe will polish it and we will work on Monica's much later. But Brian, you have your own intro music now. We do this for some, we do this for not every guest, but, regular guest, returning guest. So ladies and gentlemen, check this out.
It's called Inception.
That's not edited, folks. That's actually how it goes.
That is epic.
So, because Kobe will probably, we might make that longer. I don't know. But
it's Hans. You can never get tired of that.
It is Hans. And as I remember, we need to find it somewhere in the archives. I remember you saying, Brian, it's got to be in 4-4 with lots of cellos.
That's
yes.
Right.
So. Oh, yes.
And synthesizers.
That's right. So, Monica, we'll find yours because we still need to keep pulling things out of Keira Knightley. welcome to Soundbit. Sound bites past.
Yes.
Welcome to Inside Joke Radio here at Film Sociology.
Well, Anthony Weiner might have some tips on.
You mean Carlos Danger?
Carlos Danger.
Carlos,
the best alias since I brought this up a few times online. When Michael Vick had some medical issues involving the opposite gender, and he went for tests, and he went with the name Ron Mexico.
Nice.
Which, yeah.
If you look, you're not allowed to get a Mexico jersey from the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh my gosh, that was a joke on 30 Rock like 3 seasons ago. Yes. Finally get that now.
Yeah, that's really, they brought up a Ron Mexico bit.
They did, yeah.
So, but now we have Carlos Danger, or the other fairly obscure one is Juanita Jordan was going to file the divorce papers against her famous husband, but she wanted to kind of dodge for us. So she had the initial filings as M. Jeffrey Jordan. Hmm. Well, the Chicago press caught on to that pretty quick.
Yeah.
So. But yes, no, Carlos Danger, he's out there. Thank God. All right, opening in theaters this weekend, because now we're getting close to August. This is the last weekend before August, which means that it could be a potential wasteland of films that are released in August.
Yeah, the ones that weren't even good enough to be the summer blockbusters.
Right, and I know there are a number of films that were released in August that turned out good. I remember having this argument on another show on another station a long time ago. I was reminded that the remake of The Thomas Crown Affair was released in August. So, yes, there are good August movies out there, but there's also a number of movies that have been on the shelf for a year or two, and they just kind of throw it out there. So we get one more weekend of films of note. So, for instance, we have the documentary Blackfish, which is, of course, about, well, it's not Orca, but Richard Harris and Charlotte Rampling would do well in this documentary. And Bo Derek. Yeah, Bo Derek had her leg cut bitten off in that film.
She did, didn't she?
In Orca, not Blackfish. We don't know. No, Blackfish is a documentary about the killer whale and how the SeaWorld whale was killed. And you've not forced Orca upon on Fair Monica. You've not
watched
Orca yet.
That's a rather personal question, is it?
Oh God!
Yeah, as soon as I said it, I knew I was gonna Orca, Monica, was a late 70s Jaws, probably the most expensive of the Jaws ripoffs. There were a number of Jaws, not Piranha, and...
like, literally, it was about a killer,
whale. Oh, yes. Yeah. And they had Humanoids from the Deep, and there was Grizzly. Grizzly was another one. But this was a Dino De Laurentiis. You know,
oh, man.
You know, Giada's grandpa.
Yeah.
And
Was his head too big for his body, too?
No. and by the way, Monica, you could probably be the second person. You're number two for saying the best version, Succulent Orbs of Chocolate, right behind Nigella Lawson.
Oh, nice. Yay.
And Mrs. Soucy. Anyway.
Oh, of course. I mean.
But no, Orca is Richard Harris and Charlotte Rampling.
Oh, man.
And there's that right there. And
like
then
I saw it like a midnight on Channel 4 in like 1985.
Yeah, and there's a killer whale. And apparently there was an uncredited Bo Derek. She plays a beauty who gets her leg bitten off.
Wow.
So, but Dudley Moore still doesn't catch her. So, anyway.
I'm just imagining her hopping down the beach.
With the braids. That's
yeah.
Good. So Blackfish is here in studios. It's in theaters as well. But we're going to start. And the to-do list about a young lady who has a list of things that she wants to do before going to college, including doing things with the opposite gender in high school. So there's that. That's Aubrey Plaza, who's involved with that. But we're going to start with apparently the big film, The Wolverine. Now,
yes.
You're right over there?
I'm okay.
You're excited?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. She's really excited without moving her lips. Oh, my God. So this is Hugh Jackman. This time he's not being chased over a loaf of bread, and he's not singing, but he's got the claws, and he's not afraid to use them. And now just to be square, I'm going to – it's called The Wolverine. I know the last film was Wolverine.
Wolverine, yeah. No,
but Wolverine Origin, yeah, I know. But
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
But we're not adding the to like the old people do with rock bands. So it's actually called The Wolverine or The Wolverine. Hello, Michigan. But anyway, he's there. He's in Japan. He's fighting the Yakuza. And here's some audio.
I've been trying to find you for over a year. It's an honor to meet the Wolverine.
That's not who I am anymore. For many years, I have wanted to thank you for saving my life. But I didn't send for you only to thank you, Logan. I wanted to repay you. A gift to equal the life you gave me. You have struggled long enough. I can end your eternity. Make you mortal. What they did to me, what I am, can't be undone. Don't be so sure.
healing.
Joking off air. That is not Hans Zimmer. That's Franz Zimmer, his younger, almost slightly less bombastic younger brother with the score.
Do they stand around in stuffed sweatshirts?
No, they don't.
Pump you up.
Yes, right. But somehow Dana Carvey still gets work. No. So here, basically, for those who don't know, this film directed by James Mangold, who gave us Walk the Line and Girl Interrupted and
310
to Yuma. Yeah. Yes. So they're acting as if the last Wolverine film never happened.
Thank God.
Probably
a really good idea.
Yeah.
So it picks up right after Last Stand. So there is quite a bit more Famke Janssen in this film than I anticipated, so I say thank you.
Oh, yes, me too. Also, what if you want to pretend that The Last Stand didn't happen? Where do you go from there?
You know what? You're going to have to use your imagination on that one, because Famke Janssen keeps popping up as a recurring... well, basically, he's dreaming about her. And really, who doesn't?
Yeah, I mean...
you know, that's how I told Mrs. Soucy that's how I want to die, is to be crushed to death, like in Goldeneye.
That'll work.
And now it's on Brian's list. so that thing keeps coming back. So we have Wolverine, who briefly sounds like he's doing his own version of Unforgiven, where he's not like that anymore. And we'll get to the Unforgiven remake later. But he basically fights the Yakuza in this one. And no, he does not get help from Robert Mitchum. Fans of 70s crime dramas, thank
nice.
You. And... So he's helping out. He's doing a favor for a guy he saved from Nagasaki. That's how powerful Wolverine is. That he can overcome Nagasaki and help this guy.
He wasn't in a fridge.
Oh, he was not. Dad, did you guys both set that up?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, no refrigerator was involved. And unlike Dr. Jones, I think Wolverine cares. So.
Fair enough.
Because I remember you said to impersonate Harrison Ford, you have to have a sound that you just don't give a damn about anything.
The treasure is knowledge.
Wow, thanks.
Sometimes he sounds like Harrison Ford when he's tired and or slightly angry.
Crabby, that's good.
Yeah.
But don't ask about Star Wars, as we learned on Jimmy Kimmel. That was actually
hilarious.
Okay, back to Wolverine. So most of the film is set in Japan, and I mentioned that it's James Mangold because... For the most part, you can actually see the fighting scenes as most notably a fight that happens on a bullet train, which is kind of cool. I did not see this in 3D. I don't think it needs to be seen in 3D because I saw it and I kind of liked it. but I liked it. It's not perfect. It's a little over 2 hours, so you could probably shave 20 minutes off of it. And there's a moment you kind of know when it happens. Guess what? Mutants are involved, and I know they had to bring back they had to give hints to some of the past X-Men series, not just the dreams of Jean Grey, because every human being should have that one. But
Jean Grey is my favorite X-Man.
Mine too, but for different reasons. Well, anyway, love you, Monica, and Mrs. Soucy.
I love you, Mrs. Soucy.
But they, I know they had to bring elements of the other characters and other mutants in. I don't think it was entirely needed.
I think it's probably because Days of Future Past is coming up.
Probably. You know, and I'm not in a studio. Well, I'm in a studio, just not in Hollywood. I'm here with you guys. So
it's the cooler place to be.
It is the cooler place to be. And we come up with the hipster ideas that will never happen.
That's right.
Yes.
Like Franz Zimmer.
Franz Zimmer. We need to send this into SNL.
Speaking of ideas that didn't happen, fun fact, do you know who was originally supposed to direct this?
Darren Aronofsky.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it could have been... Oh, like, could you imagine Aronofsky doing a Wolverine story?
But it would be like The Fountain.
Yeah.
Yeah, but with Wolverine, I mean, it would be amazing.
Well, we can also... By the way, Sacha Baron Cohen, not Freddie Mercury, apparently.
Too bad.
Oh, man, really?
Yeah, we'll get into that later.
Okay.
So anyway, but there is a moment in the film, I don't think I'm giving away too much because it's in the trailer, of course, because nothing like a trailer to ruin a film.
Sure.
Yeah.
But there is a giant metal opponent that that Wolverine has to face.
Really?
Yeah. It's not quite the mechanical spider in Wild Wild West. They probably went to the same college, though. They were probably in the same
fraternity. Oh, really? It's not. So it's not a Sentinel.
This 1977 supernatural thriller?
Sorry.
No, it's not that. But it gets to go off the rails a little bit in the last 20 minutes. However, it is better than the last Wolverine film, which of course we don't talk about. But it, 15
pretty low bar to clear.
Yeah, about 15 minutes into the film, this was better than the last Wolverine.
Yeah,
film.
Oh man, you got me all excited about the Sentinel because like they did that in Last Stand. That was another thing that really made me mad. Was like they were like, oh hey, here's this thing called the Danger Room, and we're not really going to explain it to you. And
not
also,
the room. Yeah, that's a different danger.
Yeah, it's a different danger. But
it's
then
not
they're
Carlos
like, oh,
danger either.
So like on top of those, like, oh, Danger Room, and then they're like, oh hey, there's a giant robotic head falling down, and like they don't even explain to you that it's the Sentinels that's what they're fighting. And I'm like, where did you guys get the idea for a giant mutant hunting robot? Like,
right.
Those are some of the things that really made me angry about The Last Stand.
No, and this one there, he like I said, he's protecting a dying businessman. The guy he saves wind up being the head of Yoshida Industries, and he's got there's family turmoil. Of course there's family turmoil in a Japanese business, not just Japanese, but any family business.
Yeah.
And you have the son, and you have the granddaughter, who I wrote down as Japanese Jennifer Connelly.
Ooh.
Right. You'll notice when you
speaking
see
of Aronofsky films.
Right. No, we can't bring up Jennifer Connelly in that film because that's just bad.
Soul crushing.
That's a little soul crushing.
Talk about her in Labyrinth. She was really pretty in Labyrinth.
She's a little too young to talk about Jennifer Connelly in Labyrinth. That makes guys like us uncomfortable. We don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, okay. Hey, it's good to have ethics if you're creepy. So. And that's just one.
David Bowie's character didn't in that movie.
We weren't thinking about David Bowie in the mid in 19. Mick Jagger maybe, but not us. Not us.
Sorry.
Let's move on. Okay.
Sorry.
But so yes, there's good action scenes. The storyline doesn't fall off the rails completely, although it comes darn close. But like again, I think the only thing Rocky Balboa had to do was be better than Rocky V, and this film had to be better than the last Wolverine film, and it is.
All right. Now that was a good movie.
It was.
All
so,
right.
Okay, we gave you like half bits right off after playing the trailer that I guess I would just update you. I saw this trailer, and generally, until I see a poster or a trailer or a release date, I don't really care. I know we were talking a little bit about the fact that Sacha Baron Cohen is not playing Freddie Mercury in the biopic, which of course, you know, is being fronted by Queen.
Yeah.
And apparently the band wanted a PG-13 biopic, but Sacha Baron Cohen knows Freddie Mercury didn't live his PG-13 life even at birth.
Nope.
So
no.
Good luck with that. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
That's a shame. And I only bring this up because I remember two basement dwelling friends of mine almost getting in the fisticuffs because of the one heard the rumor that Ken Branagh was going to be playing young Obi-Wan in episode one. This is back in the midnight.
Oh,
you remember that rumor, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, and this was before the internet. So, I mean, this is sort of like where you got those rumors, who knows? But so between that.
The internet wasn't always around.
Not always around. Wow. Hey, Brian, you want to go sit on the front stoop and tell the kids that was just the old shuffle?
Well, what are they still doing on my lawn?
I don't know, but they better get off. But there was that. There had been, like, for over a decade, there had always been talk about Freddy versus Jason and
yes.
Alien versus Predator, and then it happened. And
it sucked.
Nobody, yeah, it sucked. So I just don't get worked up over stuff that's in development. I know there was a big deal at one of the Comic-Cons because they showed a teaser trailer about the collaboration between Superman and Batman. You know what? It hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened. I don't think if you go to IMDb, I don't even think it has in parentheses in development. It was brought up. You know how many things I just brought up? I wanted to make a 2.5-hour movie version of the Christina Hendricks Johnny Walker commercial. I'm sure
I would watch that.
I would watch it too, but it's not happening. My wife won't let me. And
Christina Hendricks probably won't.
Probably
either.
Won't let me.
Yeah,
either.
Probably
so
not.
That's the most important thing. The star of the movie. So anyway, all that aside, yes, bummer, another internet rumor down the toilet. But if you go online, you can see it's a trailer. It's happening. Don't know when Indianapolis will get it, but there is going to be a remake of Unforgiven starring Ken Watanabe, and it's done by Warner Brothers. So, and as you put it, Brian, repeat what you said.
It's the Kurosawa films translated to spaghetti western trend in reverse.
Exactly. So
there's a lovely little bit of poetry that it happened to be a Clint Eastwood film that's being translated back.
Exactly. Yeah. So and of course it also reminds me it's been 20 years since Unforgiven. Wow.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of Eastwood's masterpieces.
Truly.
Absolutely.
Truly.
You've seen it, right, Monica?
No.
We'll get there.
Okay.
We're working on it.
That's okay. Emma hasn't seen it either. So maybe you two could get together.
Right on. Have a sleepover.
Sorry.
Wow. Way to go.
The snorting is new.
Yeah, and it's on tape. yeah, because she doesn't have babysitter. She has company over now, so you guys can watch Unforgiven. We'll work on that.
Okay.
Play date.
Right.
That's right. Play date between the Stokesies and the Harses. All right. Also,
I'm not that young.
Stand next to us. You'll be fine. we're not, like, hey, at least we're not calling you Michael and Catherine, because that would make me Kirk Douglas.
Ooh, yeah.
You know the story. And apparently, according to legend, I think, or Michael Burt joked about it once, anytime Kirk calls the house and Michael picks up, he goes, I don't want to talk to you.
That's funny.
All right, moving on. Also in theaters today, the film that it has been getting a lot of press in the last couple of weeks, and probably not for the right reasons, but it happened. It's kind of right up there with, and you, Monica, you're going to have to sit down and look up this one. It was like when the China Syndrome opened and Three Mile Island. Well, we had the Trayvon.
I actually know about that.
You read it on the intraweb?
I actually have a weird fascination with Chernobyl, so I do a lot of research on nuclear disasters.
But not Chernobyl Diaries.
No.
Okay. All right. I stand. I'll shut up now and continue with the review. I'll shut up and continue the review. That's right. But this is a film because of the George Zimmerman Trayvon Martin trial. It's been getting a lot of press now, and it's in theaters in Indianapolis. It's Fruitvale Station. It stars Michael B. Jordan, not the guy from The Wizards, and Academy Award winner Octavia Spencer, who is a co-executive producer on the film. Forrest Whitaker is producing the film, and it's a real-life incident that happened New Year's Eve 2008, where a kid from Oakland got shot by the rail police. So here's some audio.
Shots fired at Fruitvale. What are you trying to get home?
What is going on?
Next stop, Fruitvale Station.
You're gonna go to Frisco, right? See the fireworks?
Yeah. You ain't gonna say bye?
Bye.
Love you too.
Everything's changing around me. And I wanna change.
Hey! What's that, girl?
It's now or never.
I'm trying to get back on my feet. I really need this job.
I hired somebody else.
What'd you do today?
I can start over fresh, but it ain't working out. It's now
or never. I'm scared. I hear guns.
Those are firecrackers. You're safe inside.
What about you, Daddy?
We'll be back before you wake up. I'm gonna be fine.
You guys got plans for the night?
I meet up with the fellas, head out to the city.
Why don't you take the train out there? That way you guys can hang out and not have to worry about anything.
Hey, Oscar.
How are you?
I'm good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Oscar from Pharmacia?
Get off the train now! Put that phone away.
What do you got? Are you still on the train?
We're still at Fruitvale.
Why can't you tell me what is going on? What is the problem? What are you doing? Oh my God.
Good, I'm good. I'm good. We're gonna be good. We're gonna be good.
It's now or never.
So the film opens with the actual footage. And this was New Year's Eve 2008. And this was one of the first piece of news items that was captured on a camera phone. So, and yeah, because it was New Year's Eve, and a ruckus is called, the police show up, and then boom. The film focuses on the day before, or the day of the event. And we have Oscar Grant, who is, as we find out in flashbacks, was in prison, and he's got a girl, and he's got a daughter, and he's got, when Octavia Spencer's your mother, and it's going through his day. Now, there's gonna be some news outlets, maybe, I won't say who, that might get their knickers in a twist because this guy is not a complete and utter thug. Yes, he served his time, but he's trying to make life decisions. Now, every other film we know is based on a true story. And I think this film definitely, and I'll be doing this over the weekend, I want to find out how much. Because there's choices where he got in trouble for various, but there's moments involving some, a bag of weed and what he's going to do with it. It flashes back to him, visiting with his mother in prison, and this is going to be her last visit to her son in prison. So the fact that this is not a black and white character. This is, you know, Michael B. Jordan, who I was looking up. I was trying to figure out what I had seen him in before. I go back. He was one of the kids in Hardball, the Keanu Reeves coaching Little League.
Oh, wow.
But most recently, I know he was a regular on Friday Night Lights, the series, and he was also in Red Tails. Really, really good performance by him, and of course by Octavia Spencer, I'm sorry, Academy Award winning Octavia Spencer, getting to play the mom. This is not a Spike Lee joint. It's not going to hit you over the head with a message. It just shows it as it is. And this is one of those that, even though we know how it, if you've done your research, how it turns out, you're still gripping while watching this. I saw this afternoon at Glendale. There was probably a dozen people in the theater, and there was some really loud weeping going on as this film has happened.
The loudest
weeping I've heard at a film since Malcolm X.
Wow.
So... And for what it's worth, because of what's happened here in our country, actually down in Florida, this film is getting a boost, and I hope a lot of people go check it out. It is not a date film, of course, but it's one of the better things I've seen this summer, and I'm hoping more people will check this out. And probably won't change anybody's mind. In fact, it might dig your heels in a little deeper in the dirt and keep fighting whichever fight you are on as far as this case and what is going on in our country. So there is that. Now, Brian, you know what's happening. Is this the last film at the IMA?
I'm not sure if it's the last.
Okay.
I just know what's
happening tonight if you don't have plans. At 7 o'clock at the IMA.
Oh, it's the Alfred Hitchcock masterpiece, Notorious.
Oh, yes. Ingrid and Carrie and...
And a lot of fun.
Claude Rains with Mom Issues. That's, that's always fun. Now, tonight and tomorrow night... then again, if you're listening to the rebroadcast on Sunday, it already happened, sorry. But it is the final weekend of the Midnight Movie Series at Landmark Keystone Arts. And I want to say to the gang at Landmark, Bully, for you guys, thank you for doing this twice a year. They do it in the summer. They do it in the fall. Of course, I was there both nights for The Room because I'm a glutton for punishment. And I got to see a new gem, which if you've not seen it yet, go find it. It's called Miami Connection.
I heard about it.
God-awful bad fun. This weekend, however, they're showing The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Nice.
That's going to be a lot of fun. And I bet the crowd will be just as fascinating as the film itself.
I was so jealous that we didn't get to go see Con.
I know. Week. That was last weekend. Yeah. And just things got in the way. It's okay.
No, I just had to work at 2 a.m. You know,
oh, so it would have been still running by the time.
Yeah, like I looked at the clock at about 2:15, and I was like, they're probably still watching it.
Shatner would still be screaming Con.
Yeah.
but it's funny because Emma she's become a fan of the original series, and
nice.
We had for a while talked about going to see this, and of course it didn't happen because we had family stuff get in the way. But Emma, and this is crucial stuff in our house. Emma wants to go to a midnight movie sometime. Like last year, she wanted to go to Beetlejuice, and she wanted to go to Wrath of Khan this year. But she still needs to pass the midnight movie test at home.
she can't stay up.
Well, that's, I don't know. We haven't done it yet.
Oh, but,
so
okay.
The point
right.
is I want her to do it because I'm pop culture Atticus Finch, as you know. Because I don't want to look over at 12:30 and look that she's asleep. I'm like, I paid $10 for you to sleep.
You not know, cool.
No, not cool at all. It doesn't look good if you keep waking up your child.
Yeah,
watch
like,
this. So
come on.
But it's you know, it's Shatner Montauban, so we'll work on that.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to move on to what is new on DVD and Blu-ray and old on DVD and Blu-ray. And it's kind of a thin week. I guess people are out of town. There's only two new titles of note, one of which I forgot was coming out this week, and I'm going to have to check it out and report back to you. Probably the biggest title this week is the latest film from Danny Boyle called Trance. This is the one with James McAvoy and Rosario Dawson, where a guy, a thief is hypnotized and a job is pulled and he doesn't remember what happened. So it's not quite Inception or Memento, but I guess there's something about brain frequency and memory and all that. But the other film that opened on Blu-ray, and I guess you can see it on demand. I don't because I'm an old person and I need to have the disc in my hand. But the new film from Francis Coppola, Twixt, with a T.
Nice.
Yes. You have Val Kilmer. I'm sorry, fat, bloated Val Kilmer. Bruce Dern, Ben Chaplin, Ellie Fanning, and Joanne Whalley. I'm sorry, it's a Val, but if anything, it's Val Kilmer not doing a film with 50 Cent. But it's about, Kilmer plays an author, it's on a book tour in a small town, and he gets tied up into a murder investigation of a young girl. And people are saying this is Coppola's smallest budget film since Dementia 13. You remember Dementia 13?
Well, not personally, but
not high up on the list, Monica. Don't worry about it.
Okay, all right. I don't feel bad.
No, but this is also part of it. I think he's also doing it handheld, and this is part of his kind of his experimental phase. Well, second experimental phase with Tetro and Youth versus Youth. So anyway, we'll check this out. But I also want to see if there's the Blu-ray on the Blu-ray if there's a commentary, because Coppola always thinks on his commentaries that he's about ready to get fired. He's always about ready to lose his job. He does that, and Altman always talks about damn kids.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know, he always says, almost in every commentary Altman ever did, he makes some reference to his films are not made for 13-year-old boys. Always, 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 always. So we'll see about that. Now, old titles on Blu-ray and Criterion. Now, anybody who is involved with food, lady, this is required viewing. Babette's Feast is getting the Criterion treatment. Best foreign film winner from the late 80s, set in 19th century Denmark. You have a father who is a really old pastor with two not as old but darn close daughters, and they take in a French female refugee, and they make her the maid, housekeeper, cook, fill in the blank. And if you're a fan of food and cinema, like everybody should,
we all should be.
This is one worth checking out, especially with the Criterion treatment.
Oh yeah, he's gotten me hooked on Criterion.
It's DVD Blu-ray crack.
Yeah, so it's like a friend of ours sees it every time there's a Criterion sale, and he just posts it online. I'm like, don't tell my husband.
Did you raid Barnes & Noble on their last 50%?
No,
you didn't.
No. No, it was kind of like, don't do it. Restrain yourself.
I went.
I did.
I got a Fritz Lang film.
Nice.
And then I got a medium cool. So yeah. Anything Criterion is worth checking out, I think.
Oh yeah. I mean, you had that really awesome Criterion Find It.
Yeah, I found Modern Times.
Yeah.
Books.
It was amazing.
Excellent.
Yeah.
The other Criterion title, Ang Lee's The Ice Storm.
Oh, yeah, another not real date movie.
And don't go to a key party afterwards.
But
fine piece of suburban angst.
Oh, it's
done
wonderful.
By Ang Lee. You have Joan Allen, Kevin Klein, Christina Ricci,
young Toby Maguire.
Young
too,
Toby yes. Maguire. So yeah, fun look at the suburban early 70s family, and things are not well. And boy, things do not end well in that film.
Not especially.
No.
So Also out on Blu-ray this week. Now there's Olive Films, and I like Olive because it's kind of reminiscent of Warner Archives or the Universe Archive, where it's not the first thing you think of. It might not be the fifth film you think of, but it comes out on Blu-ray, and you're like, huh, okay. Well, Olive Pictures released a 1961 film version of Tennessee Williams' Summer and Smoke with the great Geraldine Page. They also have Once Is Not Enough, the Harlequin novel made into a film back in 1975.
Nice.
The 1970 radio political drama WUSA with Paul Newman, Joanne Woodward, and Anthony Perkins.
No dice.
I believe that's Stuart Rosenberg, who of course directed Paul Newman in Cool Hand Luke. That's one of those lesser ones, but that's a title I've always heard about, and I'm like, who owns it? When are you going to put it out? Well, now it's out. And then the 1965 biopic Harlow, starring Carol Baker, for you fans of Baby Doll out there.
Huh.
And
speaking of Tennessee Williams.
Speaking of Tennessee Williams. And then also, because you have to have this on Blu-ray apparently, and I always use this as a, if you like this film, then you have to watch that film. The 1978 Walter Hill film, The Driver.
Don't know that one.
Oh, I will say, so for instance, if you like the film Drive, you need to watch The Driver.
Okay, then.
So,
and I heard lots of really good things about Drive.
I'm a big Walter Hill fan because he sat at the feet of Sam Peckinpah for a while. And, of course, he did films like 48 Hours and The Warriors and Southern Comfort. And any man who has Ry Cooter doing your score, that's not a bad thing at all. But this is Ryan O'Neal as the driver. And that's all he's known by. So it's one of those edgy, nondescript characters in crime dramas. Bruce Dern is the cop. And Isabel Adjani is the lady, and some fine driving sequences.
Ooh!
So
I did not expect to hear Bruce Dern mentioned twice today.
Actually,
you should. You know what? We don't get enough Bruce Dern
anywhere, really.
I love watching any driving sequence in a movie now because, and it sounds kind of hokey to say, but like at MGM, well, it used to be MGM Studios on Disney. Mm-hmm. They have a whole, it's not a ride, it's like an event sort of, and they show you how they do all kinds of different vehicle stunts.
Really?
And so you figure out, like, you know, you see a car driving backward, it's probably not somebody in reverse, like the engine is actually in the trunk and somebody is sitting and facing. And
that's one way of doing it.
Yeah, and it was just really neat, like how they showed you how they do all the tricks and stuff. So like I watch car sequences totally differently today. I'm sorry, I'm having a really hard time forming sentences, and I really
which
don't
is great
know why.
For radio.
Yeah, I know, it's wonderful, right?
So I'll ask you, since you brought up, do you have a favorite? Because guys like to ask women this. Do you have a favorite car chase scene?
Oh my gosh.
This won't be the foundation of your marriage, of course. It's just curious.
No, I honestly the first car movie I ever really, I mean, car chase I ever paid attention to was in, you know, Fast and the Furious when it came out. And they have all kinds of really, I mean, it's a cheesy movie, but their car stunts are pretty cool.
Yeah, they live their lives a quarter mile at a time.
Yeah, the one I like is I always just am amazed when they, when they're the three black, my God, I can't remember, I think this is the Civics, and like they're trying to rob the semi, and like the one just goes completely under the semi, which really is not physically possible normally, but just the whole, like, they had the car at one point, like, driving underneath the semi for, like, half a mile, and it was just insane.
I'm really old, because I remember that bit being done in Smokey and the Bandit 3.
Ah, well.
Sorry. No, I'm not. Yes, I'm
one-upping
you because I'm old. That's
you're great. Allowed to. It's
no,
okay,
I do it walking the streets all right. I don't need to do it in my show, but I do. Brian?
Oh, wow. I'll say The Road Warrior.
That's a fine one. That also needs a Criterion treatment as well.
That'll be awesome.
Because actually I have that on Blu-ray. You need to check out that because you have young, handsome Mel Gibson and this was before
the crazy.
We don't know how long the crazy really was there, but this was crazy for different reasons. But this is of course back when we found out according to the future that everything's going to be bleak and we're wearing football gear.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
And or hockey gear if you're the world's humongous.
Oh my gosh, if it's dystopian, then yeah, show it to me. I want to see it.
Right. So, really? I'm okay. That's cool. Well, this summer in particular, I think I'm done with the end of the world.
It's because it was done badly a lot.
Really? When my favorite of the group is This Is the End, which I found very funny. But yeah, I know the Hot Fuzz gang, the Shaun of the Dead gang, are doing their own. It better be good, because I really don't want, after this year, I don't want to see any more into the world post-apocalyptic stuff for a long time.
Yeah.
No.
But yeah, Road Warrior is a great choice. French Connection.
Of course.
Yeah.
Bullet.
7-Ups. Vanishing Point, original Vanishing Point, not the Viggo Mortensen thing. And for those people who are, you know, really younger than Monica and don't know what we're talking about, don't also forget Death Proof.
That was awesome.
Say what you will about Grindhouse, and it should be good, because that film is fun.
Yeah,
But Zoe Bell on a car. Well, I won't ask Mrs. Sosie to do that, but that was pretty darn sexy. And actual driving sequences. The thing about Fast and the Furious and most modern car films today is you're kind of now looking to see what was done and what was created.
Yeah, like them driving under that semi. Right. Like, physically, the semi had to be higher than they normally sit.
Exactly.
And, like, the Honda was lower to the ground. And
yeah,
I
understand. That's fine. And that's cool, and it's entertaining. But it's interesting to see what was done and what wasn't. So
yeah.
Always look at your supplements on your DVD. It sounds like I'm telling you to take your vitamins. Actually, I am.
They're visual.
But they're, you know what? If you're going to pay for the disc, watch the whole thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
honorable mention to What's New Pussycat.
Wow.
I think they're on go-karts at the end, aren't they?
I believe so. That's a good one. The other daddy-daughter moment that happened a while back, because Emma has been asking about stunts, and this question came out of the blue. She said, "Daddy, can you drive a car backwards fast?" And I said, "Emma, sit down. I want to show you a scene from Hooper."
Nice.
And so I showed her the scene where they're driving backwards in the pickup truck, and she like, now it's one of these, like, it's like, and whenever she makes a reference to something, I will say, now I won't show you the whole thing, but if you like it and you want to look at it later, I'll show it to you. So
yeah.
So yeah, Hooper's on Emma's queue. And,
nice.
Or as Lynn put it, oh God, it's Bert. So so there's that.
How old is Emma now?
She is 11.
Wow.
Gonna be 12 in November.
For some reason I thought she was a teenager already.
Because she's been talking like one for the last few years. So don't worry, I got a feeling you all might be seeing her when we go see Shakespeare in the Park in a few weeks.
Yay!
You are going opening night, right?
Oh yeah,
probably.
We'll be there as well.
All right.
I think that's become our annual get together.
Indeed.
Yes.
I'm sorry. We're planning stuff on the radio. Hi. You can go check us out in the park in a couple weeks.
Yes.
Now, for fans of drive-ins, because there's still a few out there, here's what's going on at Tibbs. We have the Wolverine and RIPD. There you go. And, well, those are fitting. I guess they're both action films. And then we have Turbo and Despicable Me 2. Okay.
Poor Ryan Reynolds.
Why poor Ryan Reynolds?
I mean, he's not poor in a
fiscal
sense.
He's not poor. And
he got paid.
Yeah, he got paid.
He did. It's
fine.
True.
And
yeah.
You know, what's that other bonus? Oh, yeah, Blake Lively. And then we have The Conjuring and Pacific Rim.
I heard The Conjuring was awesome.
I've heard really good things about The Conjuring. And even though it's from the director of Saw, apparently it is a throwback to the old haunted house films of the 70s. I know, Brian, you and I talked online. There isn't George C. Scott screaming at ghosts in this one like there is in The Changeling, but you can't have everything.
That's true.
And by the way, Pacific Rim is still my favorite film of the summer.
Nice.
I mean... Yeah, I think I've decided I want to see it. I mean, we've been so out of the loop. The last movie we saw was Iron Man 3, so.
Boy, you missed a lot. No, I would say you've missed a lot, but not really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Pacific Rim being the best film of the summer is kind of like being valedictorian at summer school. It's been a really, it's been a really disappointing summer.
Yeah.
It's been really weak. I was talking with, Abdul-Hakim Shabazz, which apparently you can hear our chat on, well, you go to Abdul's website and he'll tell you, I'm not plugging the station, but But I was looking at the list of films, and I'm like, man. And it wasn't so much that I saw a lot of bad films this summer. I saw a few, but a lot of letdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought Iron Man 3 was a letdown.
Oh, I loved Iron Man 3.
Did you really?
Yeah, I thought it was awesome.
Oh, okay. My problem with it is, and part of it was the director was Shane Black, is if I had already seen Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, so the treatment of the Ben Kingsley character really didn't come out of nowhere.
Oh, see, it totally surprised me, but I mean, Ben Kingsley makes me happy no matter what he does, so.
Really? No, I'm not going to start going down Ben Kingsley slumming films. But okay, that's cool. Here, I got some Ben Kingsley for you. Yeah, we like Sir Ben. We try to use his stuff whenever possible. And actually, that's the only thing from Sexy Beast I think I can play.
Probably.
Very likely.
Yeah.
Well, that and this.
No! No, 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 no! No! No, 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 no!
Yeah, that's all I can do, really. I really can't quote anymore. I have a tribute to Dennis Farina, which I'll play in a little bit, and I had to do some cutting on that as well, so.
Yeah, I was talking about Snatch at work all the day today, and. I think I just created a
No. You were talking about Guy Ritchie's film.
Yeah, I was talking about Guy Ritchie's film, Snatch, and I was just thinking about how fun he was in that movie.
Absolutely. Well, now that we're on it, let's move on to the segment we usually call Dead People We Like, because we don't have time for Dead People We Don't Like.
Who does? I mean.
Awesome. But yeah, Dennis Farina died at the age of 69. And as I posted online, he's Chicago's finest in two different ways. This was kind of a cool story. The fact that he was a career Chicago cop and then became a consultant on a number of films. And then he retired and then got into acting. And, you know, and if he wasn't playing a cop, he was playing a criminal. You know, you work with what you know, apparently.
Yeah.
So going through, I was trying to think of the first thing I ever noticed him in. And, yeah, it was his first film, Thief, with the Michael Mann film with James Caan. We'll add that to your queue. That's a fun early 80s detective thriller, and it's lean, mean Michael Mann.
Nice.
It's really good. And James Caan is great. And you know what? There's Jim Belushi is in this, and he's tolerable. And you have Willie Nelson, and it's Robert Brodsky.
This sounds awesome.
It is. And Tuesday Weld. I mean, it's a career. This is kind of, it always reminds me a little bit of Friends of Eddie Coyle, where, I mean, these are career criminals, and they're not living the high life. They're not living Miller high life. They are, it's their job. It's what they do. So that was his first film. Of course, he did a little bit of TV. And then he was in, probably is Chuck Norris's best film and one of the early Andrew Davis films, Code of Silence, where he's a Chicago cop fighting Henry Silva.
Nice.
Shot in Chicago.
Nice.
So we go to that. God, he was in JoJo Dancer, Your Life is Calling, directed by Richard Pryor. Manhunter, he was Jack Crawford.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah. Got that. Of course, Crime Story, he had which was a fun underrated series. He had a bit on Miami Vice, of course, and then played Jimmy Serrano in Midnight Run, which we've quoted a couple times online. Men of Respect, Mafia Macbeth, actually, and we can say it, we're not in a theater, get
That's
over
right.
it. Mac, which was directed by John Turturro, Another Stakeout, well, I'm sure it was a big check. Worked on Striking Distance with Bruce Willis, Little Big League.
He was also in Out of Sight, wasn't he?
We're almost there. Was it Little?
Oh, right.
Be patient.
No, he's right, because actually I just showed Mrs. Soucy Out of Sight for the first time
movie.
A couple weeks. Yeah, film directed by Steven Soderbergh, based on the Elmore Leonard novel. Oh, I'm sorry, based on the film sociology guest Elmore Leonard novel. Actually,
sweet.
And now I have this.
Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
I think that's my favorite ID.
It's not
because
a figment of anyone's imagination.
It is not a figment because Dutch said so. It's a real show. But yeah, he was fun in Out of Sight. He was fun in Get Shorty, Saving Private Ryan. He was one of the members of the Screen Actors. Half the Screen Actors Guild is in Saving Private Ryan.
Totally forgotten that he was
he
in Saving Private
He had one scene
Ryan.
In that. He played Greer in the Mod Squad. Reindeer Games, Sidewalks of New York, Big Trouble, Stealing Harvard. You get it. And, oh, God, Paparazzi, which was the worst film in 2004. Bottle Shock, What Happens in Vegas. Oh, that was the worst film in 2008. and then, of course, a series which I need to review because I never saw it, but Luck, the tragic short-lived series on HBO because too many horses were dying, even though horses die all the time. So, gonna have some audio. This is our audio tribute. I'm sorry, our edited audio tribute to Dennis Farina. Thanks, Dennis.
Is this moron number one? Put moron number two on the phone.
Yeah, Jimmy, he's right here. Hold on.
Yeah.
I thought you told me this guy was gonna be on the plane.
That's the information we got, Jimmy.
That's the information we got. I'm gonna tell you something. I want this guy taken out, and I want him taken out fast.
You and that other dummy better start getting more personally involved in your work,
or I'm gonna stab you through the heart with a fucking pencil. Do you understand me?
You got it, Jimmy.
What are you hanging around for? Take a walk.
I heard somebody picked up my Dukas in New York.
It's old news, Sidney. I'm already on it.
I don't have to tell you what'll happen if he becomes a government witness.
I can assure you that will not be the case.
Yeah, I assumed you were taking that position, but I am supposed to advise you against such acts.
Sidney, relax. Have a cream soda. Everything is going to be all over with in a few minutes.
Sorry, Jimmy. It didn't happen.
It didn't happen? Say that again, Tony.
It just didn't happen. It was a real mess.
You better get off the line, Jimmy.
Sidney?
If they've got a tap on that line there...
Sidney, shut your mouth. Now listen to me, dummy. Do they have Mardukas in custody or not?
I don't... Jimmy, I don't know. I mean, the cops are swarming all over the place.
We couldn't see anything.
Let me tell you two stupid mother something.
I don't want to get another phone call like this, because if I do...
I'm going to get on a plane, and I'm going to blowtorch the both of you. Do you understand?
I should have killed Walsh in Chicago a long time ago.
Don't say a word to me, Sidney. Don't say a fucking word to me. I'll get up, and I'll bury this telephone in your head.
All right. This is it. Tonight is the fucking night. You understand? I'm sick of all of these screw-ups. As soon as I get the discs from Walsh, you guys drop Walsh and you drop the Duke. Do you understand? I get the discs, you drop them, okay?
I don't think you should do this.
Oh, really? What do you propose that I do?
I send somebody with a cash offer, but don't do this.
I know Walsh. He won't take any money from me. He's a very self-righteous type of guy. It aggravates me. In his mind, this is clean. He gets what he wants, I get what I want.
Jimmy,
Sidney,
to me,
sit down, relax, have a sandwich, drink a glass of milk, do something, will you?
So I'm finally in the presence of greatness, huh? The Duke. The guy that steals money from the scum of the earth and gives it to the unfortunates of the world. I wanted to meet you face to face. Did you actually think that you were going to steal my money and get away with it? I stopped by here to tell you two things. Number one is that you're going to die tonight. Number two, I'm going to go home, have a nice hot meal. I'm going to find your wife, and I'm going to kill her, too.
Ray Barboni, owning a piece of a major motion picture. How much of a piece is entirely up to you. What I'm saying is you could invest part of the $300,000 that Palmer owes you, or all of it. It's entirely up to you.
Where's Chili Palmer? Where's Leo DeVoe? Where's my fucking money?
Ray, look at me.
What?
Look at me, Ray.
Did you just say look at you?
Look at me, Ray.
I'll tell you what, Harry. Why don't you take a look at this? Oh. And have a peek at this. You know, Harry, this is the exact fucking thing I needed. A little fucking exercise after that long... Playing around. You got a big problem, Harry. Harry? Well, come on, Harry. Don't pass out on me. Look at me, Harry. Where's my money? Where's my money? Harry, I'm going to ask you one more time. Then I got to shoot you. You don't tell me what I want to know. Where's my money?
Your money? Well, look for you.
I'm Ray Barboni from Miami.
Well, like that's supposed to mean something to me. The man you're standing on there happens to belong to me and my partner, bro.
Well, this piece of shit owes me money.
Hey, get in line.
Yeah, but I don't like waiting in lines.
Tough, bro. This ain't Miami. You want something? You gotta talk to me.
No. L.A. is an open city, and I don't think I have to get permission from nobody for nothing.
Oh, really? Well, I just closed it.
Well, you must be what they call, one of those quick draw artists, you know, because of the way you got your gun stuck way down in your belt like that.
Well, what do you got there, huh?
WAP 9? Fiat of guns, always jamming on you at the wrong time?
Don't you puke on my shoes, Harry.
Hey, Harry. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to take this gun and put a pill in the bro over there. Now, I know what you're thinking. Why, if what I shoot him, the guy's already dead. But you see, Harry, the police, they have these tests, tell you whether or not a guy fired a gun. And I was never here. Do you understand that, Harry? I was never here. And if you say I was, I'm going to come back and I'm going to throw you right out of that fin window. All right, knock it off, Harry. We haven't got a lot of time here. That's it. That's it. 86 carats.
Where?
London.
London?
London.
London?
Yes, London. You know, fish, chips, cup of tea, bad food, worse weather, Mary fucking Poppins, London.
Anything to declare?
Yeah. Don't go to England.
Thanks, Dennis.
Dennis.
I get nervous because I want to make sure all the edits are there.
Yeah, I was like, oh.
You know, it's a lot of fins.
Sounded like, yeah.
A lot of fin talking.
Lots of fins. Fin. You like sharks a lot.
So we have, of course, audio from Midnight Run, Marty Bress's film, from Barry Sonnenfeld's Get Shorty, and, of course, from Guy Ritchie's Snatch. So thank you, Dennis, so, so much. Fun guy. Midnight Run was a film which came out in the summer of 88, and I'm still waiting for a special edition to come out with that.
Hey, perfect timing, 25th anniversary.
One would hope so, because that was the film, that and A Fish Called Wanda were the two films that I remember dragging people to if they had not seen it.
Yeah.
You know, what? You've never seen? And then you take them by the wrist and you run them.
I've done that. I've done that to people.
Yeah? What have you done that with?
No, with A Fish Called Wanda.
Oh, okay.
Like, after Brian showed it to me, I was like, oh my gosh, this is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen.
Absolutely. So hopefully there will be that. Now, for you trivia buffs, do you remember who played Dennis Farina's lawyer? Philip Baker Hall.
Who?
Are you fans of Heart Eight and Boogie Nights?
Ah,
so,
yes.
So that's...
He is no longer with us either, is he?
Philip Baker Hall?
Yeah.
I'll have to check. Let me check on that. So, Brian, what's happening on your blog?
Not a lot lately. Things have been kind of chaotic, so it's been sort of languishing. But you can still read all the back entries at cinematicmusic.blogspot.com.
Very good. Very good. Philip Baker Hall, still with us. So it's
never
all right.
Mind.
No, it's okay. He's
reports of his death are greatly exaggerated.
He and Abe Vigoda, I think there's an Abe Vigoda website that lets people know that he's still alive. He's still with us. So, Baker's in everything. So you saw Iron Man 3 was the last one you saw.
Yeah, okay. I think one of the recent best DVD purchases. Well, we got it on Blu-ray. It was the Mel Brooks collection on Blu-ray.
Oh, very good.
Oh my God.
What all is on that?
Just about everything you could want except the producers.
Yeah.
Was everything else 20th Century Fox then?
Mostly.
See. That would be 12 Chairs.
12 Chairs, Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein.
Silent Movie. High Anxiety.
Uh-huh.
High Anxiety. Spaceballs.
To Be or Not to Be.
That's really strange because I know MGM also had Spaceballs.
Uh-huh.
There are some really, really great special features, and just I love watching Gene Wilder talk about doing Young Frankenstein. It seemed like it was just the most fun movie ever.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, I think with the clock on the wall, we have enough time for some final words, and then we should get our weekend started. Hold on. These are very important words to live by.
Silent Breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
You haven't thrusted Zardoz on Monica yet, have you?
I'm afraid not.
That's really okay. That could be done for another time.
Yes.
Where's the closing music? I'm so bad at this.
There's enough other weird-ass John Borman films out there to...
I think you should probably show her Zardoz before Exorcist II, The Heretic.
Okay, fair enough.
I've actually seen Exorcist II, The Heretic.
You did?
A long time ago.
Oh, that's a cliffhanger. That's so not fair. We got about 45 seconds, so...
It was a very interesting. That's about as far as I'll take that.
But is it as interesting as Sean Connery in a loincloth getting guns from the mouth of a big giant?
No, probably not.
Okay.
I No, I do want to see this.
And a rug. So there's, all right, well, let's see. Your weekends are set. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Monica. We
appreciate
you hanging out. So go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. Kobe should be back next week. We'll have a full-blown show with all the proper sound bites. Who knows? Good night, Fort Myers. Go Tigers. Please.